This is going to be the last section of Ach Sinai. We're going to begin with a question that was raised by the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen, Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin, was one of the last of the Rishonim and one of the most important Ashkenazi Rishonim. He was born in Regensburg, Germany, and he ended up his life in Neustadt, what's now Austria. And really a remarkable career in terms of both the rabbinate as well as scholarship. And one of the really interesting things about him is he had an extremely tragic life. He learned with his uncle, his maternal uncle, I believe it was, until there was, an attack in that town, and his mother and his uncle were killed. So he was more or less an orphan. And like the Magen Avraham many years later, he went on to remarkable scholarship in the face of incredible adversity. And he wrote this book of Shelos U'Tshuvos. And I'll explain what I mean. He wrote the book of Shelos U'Tshuvos. Normally you think about Shelos and Tshuvos being responsa literature, but he wrote the questions himself. There were topics he was interested in writing about, so he would write, there's somebody that asked me this question, very fascinating question, and then he would write the response. It's, if you're interested in writing about particular topics, there are two ways you could do that. You could write a book about it, or you could write questions. And he wasn't the only one who did this, by the way. This is a whole genre of self-generated Shelos U'Tshuvos. They called it Deshen, Trumas HaDeshen literally is the process that took place in the Beis HaMikdash every morning when they would, it was maintenance. It was a maintenance operation, but it was a maintenance operation that was essential.
Was it
called? What's that? No, not to my knowledge, anyway. No, but the reason that he called it Trumas HaDeshen was that in this book of questions and answers that he wrote, there were 354 questions. So what's the gematria of Deshen? Dalet 4, Shin 300, Nun 354. So he called it the Trumas HaDeshen. Okay, that's the whole story. So he wrote a wonderful tshuva about our topic, which is really essential, and get to the very nature of what the Chiyuv of Ner Chanukah is all about that we've been trying to pin down. So the shaila is as follows. Ach Sinai Shehu Nasoi, Rashai Hud Lahadlik Bebracha Chutz Lebeso Olav. Okay, so an Ach Sinai who's married, remember that's the case that we had in the Gemara and Daf Chaf Gimel of Reb Zeira, right? Once Reb Zeira was married, he says, yeah, now I don't have to participate with the house, I don't have to be Mishtatev with the Pruta, right? Why? Because somebody's lighting for me at home, and that's certainly good enough. I'm still part of that household. As we've pointed out so many times, a household is not defined geographically or physically about where you are, it's defined as which household you're a part of, right? So if you know that your household is covering you, wonderful. So you're part of that ner habayis. So let's say ach sinai shehu nasoi, is he permitted? Is he permitted? Rashai hu lahadlik bibracha chutz lebeso, olav. Right. So maybe we'll let him light the candle, but are we going to allow him to make a bracha? Is that not going to be a bracha lebatala? After all, his wife or whoever is in his bayis back home, is lighting for him. So this is the question that the Trumas HaDeshen wanted to evaluate. And this is an incredibly lumdish question, which is so crucial for our purposes.
It's a bracha lebatala. If someone says kiddush, and then you take the wine, if you say a bracha, it's a bracha.
Ah, very good. So what Dr. Griffith is saying is that why should it be different than any other area? When we get up to the Taz, you're going to see the Taz more or less says the same thing. So hang on to that thought. So one side, which Dr. Griffith is already pointing out, is look, I understand. Certainly he could be Yotzei with his wife who was ever lighting for him at home. He is still part of that household. Nobody's denying that. But the man wants to make his own Hanukkah candles, and he wants to make his own bracha. Not only that, I'll take it one step further. You would think it's a kal vachomer, because if you could do that, when it comes to Kiddush, you want to make your own Kiddush. So certainly when it comes to Ner Chanukah, when there's an issue of Mahadrin, there is a level of Mahadrin. And what does Mahadrin mean? The Gemara says, Ner l'chol echad ve'echad, that everybody should light their own candle anyway. So what's the question at all? Okay, so that's exactly, one side of the story, and that's what we're going to evaluate. So the tshuva, the Trumas HaDeshen says as follows. Yira detzarech ledakdik b'davar. This requires some examination. Echad mehagedolim hore. There was one school of thought which thought the following. V'nahag, and he also practiced this way, derashai lahadlik bibracha. It is permissible, the guest, he's traveling, he knows that they're lighting for him at home. you can go ahead and to be madlik with a bracha. The Amar, and he said, I'm not required to light anymore. You're not obligated. Aval iboi, if you wish to, matzi lahadlik, exactly as Dr. Gribitz pointed out. What could be bad about it? Velo havi bracha levatala, dehavi nami bichlal hamahadrin. Because this is also mahadrin. So just like if everybody's in the same house, we would call it mahadrin if each member of the family lit a candle. Forget about mahadrin, mina mahadrin for a second. That's when you start calculating in the days. We're not going to worry about that. But that would certainly be mahadrin. So why is it any less mahadrin if it happens to be that the Baal Habayis isn't at home, if he's on a business trip? Why is that any less mahadrin? Okay. The ode, and not only that, a different concern. Ikala meichash, maybe we should be concerned. Dilma mishtali in shevese velo midlak ilave. Perhaps there will be a bit of negligence on the part of those who are in the household, and they'll forget to light on behalf of the Baal Habayis. The Amar, and this individual who encouraged people to light on their own, even if they knew people were lighting for them at home. The Amar, yeah, go ahead.
When they say that they'll forget to light on behalf of, that means they'll forget to light. Period, or they'll forget to quote unquote have him in mind.
They'll forget to have him in mind. The Amar Shekain Irolo Pamachas, unfortunate case, the Ihulo Madlik Mishum Dahavi Somech Allah, he was relying on his wife, the Ihinami Lo Midlika, and she didn't light Mishum Disvura Haisa Duhu Yadlik Aleha Bimakom Shahu. So this is a case in terms of Mark's question where nobody lit. It was, you know, the worst possible scenario. He didn't light for her, and she didn't light for him. This could be like a kind of microcosm of a marriage, right? You know, he thought, and she thought, and in the end, nobody, and then everybody was sad. Okay, so there you go. So, v'nechlak Allah v'echad me'agidol. What's that?
How could she think that he's going to light? Where was his bias?
Right, so he was traveling, but she thought she was included with him wherever he was.
Yes,
so she made a mistake.
Yes, because
she didn't learn the sugya that well.
Yes.
What can you do? What can you do? That's why they had a Beis Yaakov movement.
Yes, you people don't teach you.
But you should know, by the way, speaking of, you know, it's not all, the Truma Sadeshan's wife was a big Talmidah Chachama. She wrote a tshuva herself about Hilchos Nida. So I'm saying, we don't wish to malign. The Truma Sadeshan was not going to be one to malign. It just happened.
Did she really write it? Or was
oh, yeah, you know, no, no, she really, really...
Was it really him pretending?
No. Well, okay, I'm not a historian, but they say it was her.
It didn't fit into the 354 number, so,
you know. You'd have to change the name. Very good. Very good, very good, very good. Okay, so Venera, sorry, V'nechlakalav, I missed the most important line. V'nechlakalav echad me'agdolim talmido. So one of the students disagreed vehemently. V'amar no, dehoil velot sarich, since in this case you're not required because somebody's lighting for you at home. Upatar min hadavar, you're exempt. Im kein hayanikra hedyot im yase. If you do it, then it's a mistake. You shouldn't do it. V'kol shekein dehavi bracha levatala. And the bracha will certainly be a bracha levatala. He says, because this isn't the Mahadran that we find in the Gemara. Because what's the Mahadran that we find in the Gemara? What is exactly the definition of Mahadran as we find it in the Gemara? It is when everybody in the household lights their own candle. Here, this is a completely different surah. It's a different situation altogether, in the sense that, and we're going to see why does this make a difference. This is exactly the issue that we've been zeroing in on now for 3 weeks, is that he's not at home anymore, he's somewhere else. So the first perspective, well, how is that any different? Once you say there is such a thing as Mahadran, that everybody has a candle, so to speak, and everybody can light a candle, so what difference does it make where you are? And then the other perspective is, no, there is no such thing as Mahadran outside of the house. So we're going to have to come back to this machlokas. We're just laying the groundwork now. But this is a fascinating machlokas about the definition and the very nature of Mahadran. Okay. So the Truma Sadeshan says as follows. Now it's up to him to answer the question that was presented to him. All the pressure is on, right? And we say this somewhat facetiously. Why? Because it was his question. Venira de osotam sha'amar echad me'agdolim harishonim, the first perspective, de ika lemichash, that you should be concerned, dilma mishtali in shivese, v'amar shekach irelo pamachas, ein tam zemas biklal. And he says, you know what, that's not a good enough reason, that, you know, people can forget any time, but that's not the way the halachic system works. halachics. The halachic system has certain presumptions, has certain assumptions it's willing to make. It's actually a beautiful idea, because we don't operate this way in the Gemara, that, you know, people should all of a sudden start being choshesh, the people in their house. We all have to have basic confidence in each other to get the job done. This is part of life. You can't start living in an erotic way and say, oh, this one's going to forget and that one's going to forget. That's not Judaism, okay? Afilu Isser Kares, even when it comes to the most basic thing, Isser Kares, what's he referring to here? Taras HaMishpacha, right? The halacha is that a person who's with a nida, that's an Isser Kares. But who do we trust when it comes to this matter? The Cheskas Kashrus. And you don't go, it's inappropriate to go around asking questions. You don't give a woman a faher every time she makes a claim. You know, that would be wildly inappropriate. So, Kehayi de Perikol Hayad, nida per daf tesvav, de bala mach shiv yame vesta, ubala, yvatam yishum de asr lamo de me tumasa. We don't presume that she is being negligent. So hachanami, so it should be a kalvachomer, right? If that's an iser kares d'oraisa, and this is a din d'rabbanan, and hachanami hu yodea beishto shehi yodas din zeh sheisha tzricha lahadlik begobesa lefish hamitzah mutelas al mishu b'socha bayis or afilu im eina yodas aval b'nei b'esa yodin din zeh ushchena, right? Somebody knows, the people in the house, the neighbors, etc., etc. Yesh l'smoch aleihem. So you don't tell me that this comes down to the issue of, well, you can't trust the people at home, so you might as well light where you are. That's not the issue, says the Trumas Hadeshen. And just because you can quote me a story, well, ay, a mistake happened, that's not the way the halachic system works. The halachic system works based on certain presumptions, and we have a certain confidence in each other. By the way, if this could be a shir in its own right, as this is a very important principle. So you don't live neurotically, that undermines Judaism. That's not a good thing to do. Yeah, Mark. Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, so Amnam, but he says, let's go back to the heart of the issue. Let's talk about what's really going on here, which is the nature of Mahadrin. Is Mahadrin that wherever, that once we instituted the level of Mahadrin, that Ner L'chol Echad Be'Echad, that means wherever the person is, he should light, irrespective of his location in his household? Or, as a second opinion, does Mahadrin mean that within the household, everybody can light? Amnam, mitam Mahadrin Efshar, v'yitachin shapir dami lahadik bivracha chiyai gavna. He thinks that Mahadrin means that wherever you are, it is acceptable for each individual to light. He says it clearly. There is no difference. Wherever you are, that's where the halach of Mahajan will apply. Yes, it's true that the Gemara spoke about the case where everybody's in the same household, but that was more circumstantial. Because our case is the less common case, and the Gemara spoke in terms of kalim. So the Gemara laid down the principle of Mahadrin, which means ner l'chol echad be'echad, and the Gemara was less invested, you know, as we say so many times in the Gemara. The Gemara will say, why is this case in the Mishnah, why not that case? So many times in the Gemara will say, ton of ishir. We don't list every single case. We give the general principles. So you didn't give every single case. They established there's such a principle called Mahadrin. And Mahadrin means ner l'chol echad be'echad. So wherever you are, you're at home, you're on a business trip, you're at school, it doesn't matter. So Mahadrin means that you can light where you are with a bracha. V'kivan deshkachin b'talmud Mahadrin. And once we have the principle of Mahadrin, the Gemara, u'mahadrin mina Mahadrin, right? Not to be outdone, Ainzek and Mosif ala Talmud Shehu Goreya. This is not like adding a new category, which is, you hear the play on words here, Kol Mosif Hareze Goreya. So that's the perspective of the Trumas Hadeshen. Jacob and then Mark.
So in our case in the Gemara, why didn't he light when he was learning? I mean,
he chose not to.
So he chose not to follow Mahadrin.
Exactly. Mahadrin. Forget about Mahadrin. He said, I don't want to. He was an Ari Shabesim. Everybody has to be Mahadrin. Yeah. Kept kosher. Kosher is kosher. So, Reb Zera said, you know, look, I have my individual chiyuv. And so, before he was married, he said, you know, the way that this mitzvah usually expresses itself is on the household. Problem is, I'm not part of the household. So, how to become part of the household? Mishtatev bepruta. I contribute financially. And that's how he was. Then he got married, and he said, "Wonderful! I'm not part of this household, but I might as well keep my coin, you know, for the vending machine, and I'm part of the household from over there." and they're going to light for me. And that's terrific. Could he have, according to the Truma Sedeshin?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. Mark.
Well, what's his basis? In other words, the Gemara had this concept of beta.
Yeah.
That it was, but he's just expanding it, but he's not giving us
100%,
any source.
100%. So what he's saying is that conceptually what Mahajan must mean, and this is exactly where we're going to zero in, what Mahajan must mean is that the chiyuv which inherit in each and every, we said, right, we can prove that there's a chiyuv on each and every individual. That was what the Ran said. It's not like the din of mezuzah, which is really a din in the house. It's a chovas hadar, but it's a din in the house.
To digress for 10 seconds,
yeah, sure,
there was
jump
great
in.
Article in the paper the other day about the whole issue of the contraceptives in the whole contraceptive.
Oh, because the Catholic era.
And they compared it, the author compared it, this is in the Jewish Week, actually, which I thought was interesting. Whoever was writing about this in the Jewish Week said it's unlike the Satmir who will sometimes compromise for purposes of expediency in their own situations when they agreed that there was no need to have mezuzot in the doorways of the schools that they wanted to maintain as quote-unquote public schools in order to continue to get funding. So I thought
you don't need mezuzahs in schools anyway.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that was the point. The point was they made the author made it sound like, can you believe how they compromised that they would accept that there shouldn't have to be a mezuzah on a doorpost?
Right.
And I felt like saying you didn't come to our shiur last week.
Read a letter. It's total amaranthus
so
going on.
That was
on
it.
Here.
That's what I thought was fascinating. I said the Satmar are smarter than you think. Than you give them credit for. They halachically they wouldn't. If halachically it was required, they wouldn't have compromised. There was nothing to compromise on.
You can't make this stuff up.
Anyway.
No, that's
sorry,
great. No.
I'm happy. Last week I said they should have been, the author should have been in our shiur.
It's really unbelievable. Okay, so you don't, just in general, if anybody ever has, it's if you want, a person wants to put up a mezuzah in an office, they certainly can, or in a school, they certainly can. Without a bracha, you can't make a bracha, but generally it's a chiyuv hadar. It's where mezuzos beisecho visharecha, you know, So you have to be people, for there to be a chiyuv d'oraisa, so there have to be people living there. End of story. Okay.
Anyway,
no, please. So that's totally fine. Anytime people...
So if you put up the mezuzah, you shouldn't make a bracha?
Don't make a bracha. Yeah.
And if you make the bracha, it's theoretically
levant. Right, you shouldn't really make the bracha. It's a bracha shena tzricha in that case, because it's not really a chiyuv, yeah. Yeah. Unfortunate. I mean, if it happens, it happened. But, you know, in general, that's the way it is. Yeah.
So
we can always talk about mezuzah shalos.
So you don't put up a mezuzah in your office?
The person can if they want to. You don't have to.
So
you don't live there?
And in that circumstance, you wouldn't?
Certainly not. Certainly not.
So the mezuzah that went up right there would not have had a bracha?
I certainly hope not. I mean, there's nobody that lives here, as far as we know. Is anybody asleep? I've slept here a couple of times, but...
on a shul, then you know they wouldn't make a bracha.
Shul is a whole different, right? I mean, a shul is a whole different story. There's some internal issues with the shul, but generally the principle is it's a chiyuv hadar. It's where people live.
And
you might even have to own the house.
Even if
renting
have,
is only dindar
abanan. You have an elevator, you shouldn't put it up in an elevator.
Well, there's a big question about elevators. Some people, it depends sort of where the elevator opens up to, but in a residential area, meaning if you have an elevator within your house, right?
Yes.
So then it's possible. You have to look at exactly the way the elevator opens and whether there's a lintel. The Rav was of the view that... which I do follow, that there has to be a lintel. It can't just be like an opening, but there has to be like a post, because it says mezuzo space echos. So you'd have to look at how it's constructed. But there could be. Not in the elevator itself, but where the elevator opens. The elevator will open into like a post. There's a post there. You could have, on the way out of the elevator on your right side. Yeah, that could be. It would have to be on the way out of the elevator, because you go from the elevator into the room. You don't go that, that's because... Pasuk says mezuzos beisecha. So the Gemara says beisecha means derech biyascha, as you go into a room. So if anybody has any general mezuzah shailas, I'm happy. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
As you're going out of the elevator, would be.
Yeah, that's right. Because we always, there's always a big question. How do you determine what's in and what's out? Because most doors in your house you'll use in both directions. So there are certain klalim. That's an easy case, because the elevator clearly serves the purposes of the room. right? You don't look at the elevator as a destination, right? Unless, you know, you're a person, you know, who likes to ride elevators all day. The elevator is a way to get into the more chashav room, and the more chashav room is wherever the elevator opens up into. So there, entering is always defined from less important to more important. It's a very logical. So it would be on the right side coming out of the elevator. But again, I'm not telling you need it. I would have to look at it actually to see. You can't paskin a mezuzah as a shiloh without seeing where it is, because there are certain requirements. It has to be a makom dalet al dalet, or, you know, there are all kinds of things.
Yes, but so in an office building,
shouldn't make brachas.
But you shouldn't even put the mezuzah in the elevator.
Well, you might not want to put the mezuzah anywhere.
Yes, but even if you walk,
right. What I'm saying is, I'm not sure that there's such a big difference between the elevator and the right. I don't really see that as such
before
a big difference.
Before the war, there was a famous building in Czechoslovakia built by this shoe magnate, and it was a multi-story factory building.
Right.
He had his office, you know, a big elevator, and would go up and down the elevator, you know, to see the various floors. But his office was the elevator, so it was a very
Did you see, in that sense, since it's probably the most chashev room in the building, because it's the boss's office, there you could have, there, so you would pass in the opposite, right? It would actually be the elevator was the destination. So there you go. So that's why you have to know the specifics of each case. That's what halacha is all about. Okay. So what this was where? We were in Czechoslovakia?
Because we were comparing it to...
I'm not sure the exact city, but the
okay.
Company's name was Bata.
Okay.
Shoe was a famous shoe company that moved to Canada after the war.
Amazing. Okay, so this is living Jewish history. Okay, so just to get back to the issue, so the Trumas HaDeshen endorsed the view which said, sure, why not? Because Mahadran is defined by Ner L'chol Echad Ve'Echad, so it's not tied into the house anymore, and Mark raised the question, well, why not? So that's exactly the issue we're going to key in on. We just have to take a look at the Taz, and then we're going to circle back, try to pin down the Lamdus, and try to really conceptually explain the machlokas, and then finish up the sugya by asking, going back to our fundamental question, is why was the mitzvah collectivized into a house altogether? So let's take a look at the Taz. The Taz picks up where the Trumas HaDeshen left off. He said, he read the Trumas HaDeshen, it's a fascinating question, and now he wants to weigh in on it. Okay? So, Amnam, ki nechzion in divrei Trumas HaDeshen nechonim, he thinks the Trumas HaDeshen was correct in paskening that Mahadran means wherever you are, near l'chol echad ve'achad. The mashakasav gadol ha'achad shelo matinu hider zeh b'talmud, right, the dissenting view, the Talmud of the first gadol, and there's the guy who said, we haven't seen this kind of Mahadran in the Talmud, zun lo nearly klal. He doesn't buy that argument at all. That was the presumption, was that that's what everybody would do. He said the Gemara didn't speak about this case because this is essentially, you know, something which is parallel in every area of halacha. That's exactly what Dr. Gribitz pointed out. The Gemara spoke about the standard case, which is the case of the household of Ner L'chol Echad Ve'Echad. But now you come to this question, which is, you know, you could be Yotze with what they're doing in the household, or you could do it on your own. So that's not altogether different from what we see in different areas of halacha. So the Gemara didn't feel the need to address this question in particular. So he says, V'nir l'damos davar zeh, l'masha kasev, reish perek shloshev she'achlu, in the Gemara in Brachos, Amar Abaye. And so Abaye said, Shnayim she'achlu, if you have two people that are eating together, mitzvah l'chalik. So it's a mitzvah for them each to make their own brachas. What does that mean? Perish Rashi, bein berchazimun, bein berchaz hamotzi. So they should bench by themselves, right? The ikar hadin halacha is that one person could bench on both their behalf, right? Everybody has kavana. Remember, you know, we live in an educated time. Not everybody could say the whole benching. So what do? A person knew, right? It's not like they had benchers around. You know, you were mass-producing benchers. This is before there was a printing press in the time of Abaye. So not, you know, people didn't carry manuscripts around with them. So if Jacob knew the benching, so we would sit here, we would listen, and Jacob would bench for us. That's what his iman was. Okay, so there's a special concept of it's nice for each person to make their own benching and each person to make their own hamotzi. But what's our practice? Everybody here, Friday night, Shabbos lunch, does everybody make their own hamotzi? No, I've never seen that. Everybody is Yotze with the Balabayas. Okay, so he's saying is that it's just like that case, right? You have a choice. You can make your own hamotzi, you can have your own benching, or you could, you know, be yotze with the leader. Because of Harash, and the Rush points out what we know to be the case, ha'olam lo nahagu kain, right? The minhag is for people to be yotze with each other. V'gam b'Rashi lo shamanu shen nahagu kain b'birkas hamotzi, v'chein b'uvda debar kapara. Even Rashi will admit that, Rashi who said it's a mitzvah, this is what Abaye meant when he says mitzvah l'chalig, even Rashi will admit is that the general minhag, at least with respect to the bracha rishona, with respect to hamotzi, is people make their own brachos. Haredal kol panim leka iser b'davari mevarech kol achad hamotzi, ela sharosh kasab shelo nahagu kain. The Rashi is just speaking descriptively, he's not paskining. Rashi says it's a mitzvah. So if people want to collectivize, they want to do it together, that's also acceptable. And that was the minhag. You know, people, as we do to this very day, Friday night, Shabbos lunch, people make hamotzi together, but a person could make their own hamotzi, and it's certainly not a bracha levatala. Rashi said it's in fact a mitzvah. So the Taz says, so this is relevant to our case. If you could be yotze, but you choose not to be yotze, or you choose to be yotze, both are acceptable. We'll just read that line again. You could be yotze. Different case. Okay, so the Taz says it's absolutely parallel. So Reb Zeira, maybe he wanted to minimize brachos. Okay, maybe that's the answer. Jacob asked, well, he didn't want to be part of the Mahajan, so he said, I could be Yotze, I don't need to make extra brachos. So that's a kavana l'shem shemayim. And if he wanted to make his own bracha, that would also be a kavana l'shem shemayim. The point here in the Taz is that the Taz isn't really looking at Hanukkah as a different kind of institution. Conceptually, he sees it totally parallel to other brachos. Motzi, zima. And that's exactly where we're obviously going to zero in. I mean, we are going to dispute that. But just to finish the line, then we'll take Mark's question. He says, V'kol shekein hu, and you could even make a kal v'chomer. Why? Kevan she'eno etzel ishto, since he's not around his wife, ve'eno shomea ha'bracha, and he doesn't hear her bracha, she'yucha lomar eini yotze b'berchas ishti shelo b'fanai, de'hadas shomeu mashmi'a ba'ina. Maybe there's even an additional reason for him to make his own bracha here, right, which would be, that since he's not around his wife, you know, it's harder for each of them to have kavana. Maybe start getting into the Trumas Hadeshens issues of maybe somebody's going to forget. Okay, so the point that I really wanted to highlight by bringing up this Trumas Hadeshen and the Taz is that the way that they see it is that they're not making any kind of, once we have the notion of Mahadrin, of Ner L'chol Echad Ve'Echad, they seem to relate to Neiru's Chanukah as fundamentally parallel and analogous to other institutions, whether it's Birchas Hamotzi or benching, and that is exactly the point where we want to begin our analysis. Yes, Mark, please.
What's interesting about that is that neither of them says anything whatsoever about Pirsumei Nisa.
Right. So the Pirsumei Nisa factor will always be, as we've pointed out, an overriding factor in the sense that, you know, as we pointed out last week, you know, remember we were talking about the Aruch HaShulchan and you're on the train. Right. There's always going to be that factor. So let's control for that factor right now. Let's assume that nothing is gained in terms of Pirsumei Nisa, because the most of the Pirsumei Nisa cases that we had were, you know, you're in an area like Babis Sfina, if you're coming in an area where there is nobody lighting Hanukkah candles, etc. So let's just assume, all else being equal, there's no tremendous Pirsumei Nisa value. Of course, you know, there could be, and that would be an overriding factor. So let's try to pin down the lumdus. What is each side really saying? As we had this machlokas in the Trumas Hadeshen, well, what's really going on here? Anybody want to weigh in there?
Anybody want to weigh in with perspective?
I mean, to what extent is it a mitzvah bias, and what extent is it kind of a hybrid mitzvah?
Okay, excellent, excellent. So you want to just elaborate on that? I think that's 100% true.
Well, I mean, if it's, you know, a hybrid, so it's a mitzvah on you and the house. So, you know, if you're out of the house, you can still participate in this kind of collective mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah. But, you know, if it's a little bit more literal, that it's more house-oriented, then presumably should or...
So I think that just to pick up on that point is that really we've put in the groundwork, and now we really have a wonderful sugya in front of us. What is Ner Chanukah? What's happening here? What is this mitzvah? So we all agree that there's a chiyuv which is inherent in each and every individual. As the Rambam says, all those who are obligated in Kriyas HaMegillah are obligated in Ner Chanukah. There is a kind of a chiyuv HaGavra. And we know that because of the sugya of Achsenai, that this person has an individual responsibility, has to figure out a way to discharge, and that's the whole nature of the problem, is which household is he going to fit into. And as the Ran told us, it's not parallel to Mezuzah, which is a din in the bias. But here's where the sugya becomes complex, but very rich. So, at the very baseline, and let's say all of us were you know, part of one bias. So everybody started here with their own candle. Mark has a candle, and Dr. Gribitz has a candle, and Jacob has a candle, and I have a candle. We all have our own chiyuv. Let's say, just for the purposes of our shiur, that we were all part of one bias. So Chazal said, you know how this is going to work? We collectivize. You each take your own candle, and you put it in the middle, and you meld it into one candle. That's how it's going to work. We're going to collectivize each and every one of our individual obligations on the basic level. That's what we mean when we say ner ishu beso. Yes, it is a chiyuv which is inherent in the gavra, but we've chosen to collectivize it through the means of a household. The last thing that we'll do in shir today is we'll ask why a household. We could say you could collectivize along very different lines. You say we were kidding around before. You know, who's your favorite Maccabee or who's your favorite Maccabee? Maybe that should be the means of collectivization, but it's not. Why the household is so important, we'll return to. But that's the way it worked. That's the mitzvah of Chanukah, Ner Ishu Beso. Then the question is, what happened when they instituted Mahadrin? And here you have a fundamental machlokas about what the next step was. So you could say, yes, you know what happened was Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad, those candles that we melded into one, each of us got it back. We broke that union. We broke that collectivization. And so now, wherever any of us go, we get to keep that candle that Mahadran gave back to us. So, yeah, I'm traveling. I'm not in the house anymore. Okay, but this is no worse than the Mahadran that appears in the Gemara. Because Mahadran means Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad. What it means is that the Chiyav, which is inherent in each and every Gavra, which was collectivized into the household on the basic level of Ner Ishu Beso, was given back to me. I was re-empowered, as it were. That's one perspective, and that's indeed the perspective which the true Masad Deshen and the Taz endorse. And that's why they say, in the end, it's no different than any other mitzvah, where I could, if I wanted to do the basic mitzvah, be collectivized. It's true, I can choose to be a part of Ner Ishu Beso. If they're lighting in my house, I can still choose to be a part of that. But if I want to be Mahadran, there's nothing wrong with that. I can light wherever I am. However, just one second, and then we'll just finish it, then we'll come back and take questions. But there is a totally different perspective that one can bring to bear on this. So that's not what Mahadran was. Mahadran said, yes, we started out with our own individual chiyuv, a chiyuv which was inherent in each every gavra, but then all of us put our candle in the middle of that table, and we melded them together, and we said, we're all going to be yotze with the ner habayis. And then you know what Mahadran said? Mahadran said, within the context of the household, it's an even higher level to give everybody their candle back, but only within the context of that household. There is no Mahadran outside of the household. That is precisely what that other view was saying in the Truma Sedesh. Let's just read the words again. V'nechlak alav echad me'agdolim talmido. This is not Mahadran. Mahadran is something very particular. It means within the context of the household, literally the household, when you're there, not when you're traveling around, then there is a notion of Mahadran. As soon as you go on a business trip, yes, you're still theoretically part of the household, in as much you can be collectivized into the Ner Habayis. But there is no notion of Mahadran outside the household. What Mahadran means is that within the confines of a household, we want to give everybody their own voice. We want to give everybody their own individual candle back. But it doesn't transcend these kinds of boundaries. It won't travel with you on a business trip. That's what Mahajan really is. Now, I just want to highlight this perspective, this machlokas, about really what happened when we instituted a level of Mahajan. Did we simply give everybody a Chiyuv HaGavra back, irrespective of the household? Or did we say no, that within the context of a household, there's a notion of Mahajan, which is really the way that I understand this machlokas in the Truma Sadashan? I want to highlight this with the Rambam. The Rambam has a very interesting formulation about what Mahajan is. So, Kamaneros Humadlik Bechanika. Mitzvasa Shiya Kolbayis Humayis Madlik Nerachad. We've noted many, many times, right? The Rambam expresses that on the fundamental level, the mitzvah is on the bias, right? Of course, you have to put this in the context of the other Rambams, where the Rambam speaks about individual obligations as well, right? Kol Misha Chayev Bekriyas Megillah Chayev B'Ner Chanukah, but Kol Bayis U'Bayis Madlik Ner Echad. Everybody is collectivized into that one candle in the middle. Bein Shehayu Anshei Abayis Merubin, Bein Shelo Hayu Boela Adam Echad. V'ha Mehader Es HaMitzvah. What is Mahadrin? Madlik Neros Kiminyan Anshei Habayis Ner L'Chol Echad V'Echad Bein Anashim Bein Nashim. Okay, what is Mahadrin? I'll just read those words very carefully. Hamehader as hamitzvah madlik neros kiminyan anshei habayis ner lechol echad veechad bein anashim bein nashim. So what is Mahadrin according to the Rambam? And by the way, he's consistent about this for Mahadrin mina Mahadrin. It's not that each person lights their own candle, but what is it that one person, the Baal Habayis, lights the number of candles in accordance with the number of people in the household? So what does that demonstrate? Here you have, again, this idea of what is Mahadrin. Mahadrin doesn't mean that, okay, everybody now is going to light their own candle. That's not the way the Rambam envisioned it. It means that the Baal Habayis, the head of the household, is going to light a candle representing each person. We still keep that collectivization. That collectivization is reflected in the fact that it's still one person lighting. The difference between the basic mitzvah and the Mahadrin mitzvah is quite simple. It's, do you collectivize everybody? Do we all put our candle in the middle of the table and meld them into one giant candle, so to speak? Or Mahadrin means, okay, you know, we'll all be represented, but it's still going to be in the middle of the table. It's not each of us lighting our own candle. Now, it's true the Rambam might also agree that if you go on a business trip, Mahadrin would mean that, you know, you could light your own candle. I'm not saying that the Rambam will paskin against the Truma Sadeshan. What I'm just saying is that, conceptually speaking, you see that the Rambam understood this idea that Mahadrin meant that you don't forget about the bias. You don't all of a sudden forget about the bias because now we have Mahadrin, and the collectivization is reflected by the fact that it's one person lighting. And that's also true, I would just note, on the level of Mahadrin mina Mahadrin. V'ha Mahadir yeser al zev otze mitzvah min ha-muvchar madlik ner l'chol echad ve'echad b'layla harishon u'mosev v'holech b'chol layla v'layla ner echad. Kate said, haresha hayu anshe abayis asar. Let's say there are 10 people in the household. B'layla harishon madlik asar neros uv'leil sheni esrim uv'leil shlishi shloshim achanim to madlik b'leil shmini shmonim neros. It's one person lighting the 80 candles because it's the eighth night and there are 10 people there. So for the Rambam, it's always one madlik because Mahadrin, mina Mahadrin, whatever it is, it's still within the framework of the household. And that's why you have one, that's why you have one person that's big madlik. So that's exactly, so yeah.
Madlik, if there are 10 people, he madliks 10 in
the on the first night. Now on the second night, he would do 20. Just a multiple of 10. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea is that the notion...
One person is doing it.
Right. So that's precisely the issue in terms of what does Mahadrin mean? Does it mean that we basically we reverse this process of collectivization, we decollectivize thoroughly? Or does it mean that, no, of course we maintain collectivization, which means that, you know, the mitzvah is the mitzvah on the household. But as long as everybody's within the household, meaning they're not traveling around, right? So then we can give each person their own candle back, so to speak. Now, the way the Rambam has it, and we obviously don't paskin this way, it's not our minhag, but that means that one person, you know, the representative of the household, lights a candle for each person in the household in accordance with the number of nights. So what you really see here is, what does Mahadrin mean? Does Mahadrin reflect the fact that the chiyuv is back, so to speak, in the, you know, each person is empowered, and it was as if the ner bias stage never happened. It's like the Chiyuv Hagavra that, you know, predated the process of collectivization has been reinstituted, or that no, of course that we care that things were collectivized into a bias, and we just say within the context of that household, we can, you know, give it's nice to give everybody a voice, it's nice to give everybody representation. That is undoubtedly what the view in the Truma Sadeshin was, that dissenting view, and that even though the Rambam doesn't have to go this far, he doesn't have to say, right, you could still maintain that idea theoretically and say, okay, fine, but if you go travel, you know, you go on a business trip, you're still part of that household, so, you know, you lighting your candle where you are, you still, you know, we still think about you as part of that household. You could still maintain that idea. The Rambam might agree with that. He might be a little more makel than the dissenting view in the Truma Sadeshin, but he still, you know, he could be in the middle and still say, yes, you know, there is the notion of one person being madlik. So for the Rambam, the way that I always imagined it working was, you know, if you're on that business trip, right, we don't forget about you. You know, you're still a member of that household. So you know, if they're doing in this household, they're doing mahadrin. So they could have a candle for him and say, you know, oh, Dad, he's in Hong Kong right now. Put down the candle for him and light it. Meaning the one person who's ever lighting, whether it's the wife or somebody else.
I don't know, it seems to me like the Rambam is more consistent with the dissenting opinion.
Right, I'm just saying, he conceptually, 100%, I'm just saying that you can draw the line in different places. The dissenting opinion will go all the way and say that there is no concept of mahadran outside the household, and it just doesn't exist.
Right. No, especially since one person is lighting it for the entire household. So, you know, it doesn't become deaggregated, doesn't become, I guess, deaggregated, if that's the word, into individual.
Right. Lines. Well, right. So when you read the Rambam, it's true. So all else being equal, I would agree with you. It's just that when the Rambam speaks about the achsanai, his actual formulation is oreach, shemadlikin alav besoch beso, that they're lighting for him in his house, eno tsarech. He doesn't say eno rashai. So it sounds like he could if he wanted to, and the presumption is that the Rambam, even though he thinks that mahadran is really within the household, and what it means is that you represent each person within the household, is that if a person wants to, if they happen to be in a different place, they have the right, they at least theoretically can, light their own candle. Yeah, Mark. Sorry for making...
No, that's okay. I'm trying to get the conceptual framework.
Sure.
Where else, halakhically, if anywhere, do we have this concept of collectivization in terms of how we think of performing halachot or mitzvot?
That was actually what I was going to say.
Oh, it's all the family, right?
I think the classical example.
That's a good example. Yeah. So that would be...
Right. Remember that in that case, there's still an individual chi of agav, everybody has to eat, but there are certain halachot. It's not entirely parallel, but yeah, that would be the example that I would give. So... And just in conclusion, I wanted to just mention one thing which has been bothering me this whole time. So our basic operating theory here is that with the way that Chanukah worked is that there was a chiyuv which is inherent in each and every individual. The rabbis came and said, we all have a chiyuv to light a Chanukah candle. And they said, you know how we want to do this in practice? This is going to be a unique area of halacha. Rather than having each person light their own candle, you know what we really would like is if we bundled that. And we had a ner habayis. So it's a ner ish, in the sense that we're all obligated, but ubeso. That's what we're going
to
do. Yeah, go ahead.
That's what I was trying to get to. We don't do that with matzah. We don't do that with lulav.
Absolutely not.
I mean, like, there are so many. We don't do that with tefillin.
This is unique.
That's
exactly why we're having so many shiurim on this point, because it's such a fascinating idea. So why would we do that? I mean, you need a good reason to do that. Why not just leave the model as it is? It's a chiyuv hagavra. Why does it have to be so? And therefore, you're not going to have any trouble. So wherever you are, you light a Hanukkah candle. You're at home, you light a Hanukkah candle. You're on the trip, you light a Hanukkah candle. Let me ask you a question. Do we have these problems with tefillin? You're in shul, you put on tefillin. You're in Hong Kong, you put on your tefillin. Right? You're at school, you put on tefillin. It's not so complicated. So why do we? So we got into this whole mess because of collectivization. So then the question is, once you're collectivized in, can you light on your own? If you want to light on your own, you have all these problems.
So you're asking why there is a notion of mahadrin or mahadrin.
What I'm really asking is, why do we collectivize in the first place? Why is the bias such a central part of the Hanukkah story? Yeah, that's a very...
So, I mean, because what we're doing, in essence...
Why are we collectivizing the obligation to begin with?
At the risk of making this sound almost brisk in things.
No, don't
shifting,
be... Right.
Shifting it from Gavra to Chetza.
In a certain sense. But it still maintains that balance. That's why it's such a subtle area. It's not really one or the other. That's what I'm saying, is that it was collectivized, but what Mahadran did is Mahadran...
But there's a Chetza notion here that's fundamental to what we're...
Good, exactly. So where does that come from? I mean, if it's fundamentally a Chiyav HaGavra, what is this process of collectivization? I mean, why? And that's the way that we've been learning the whole sugya, is that yes, it is a Chiyav HaGavra, but then it was collectivized. And what did Mahadran do? Is Mahadran gave that Chiyav back to the individual. But how far did it go? Did it totally uproot the notion of the, you know, the middle stage, which was the household? That's one perspective. So wherever you are, it doesn't matter if you're in the house. Mahadran means ner l'chol echad v'echad. Who cares whether you're in your house? Or, like we've been trying to say today, there's a dissenting view, the Trumas Hadeshen, one view quoted within the Trumas Hadeshen, that says no, Mahadran doesn't exist outside of the household. Once you're out of the house, there's no concept of Mahadran. The only chance you have is to collectivize with a household. Either the house where you are, right, you can be mishtatef with the pruta, or the other way to do it is to, you know, have people light for you at home, because that's still part of your household. So, you know, that's the nature of the mitzvah. Where did this notion of household come from? In other words, why was it collectivized to begin with?
It's probably it's more like a Jewish question, almost, like the whole notion.
But this we need for halacha, because how did it get collectivized to begin with?
So there has to be something inherent in the story of Hanukkah.
Yeah,
excellent. Methodologically,
it has to be national.
That there's something about it that brings it back to the house as a
as a national thing. The whole threat of the Jewish extinction and the fact that the unit is kind of that.
Okay, so all these things, right. So that's what we, you know, those are the directions. Methodologically, I completely agree. That's where we're going to have to look, is that there must have been some attack on the household, that the Ner Chanukah is a... Right. So, you know...
And it has to be different from Purim, because you have to eat your Suda no matter where you are.
Right, exactly. And the Chiyuv on Kriya Samigillah.
Nobody gives you a household mitzvah for Purim.
Exactly, exactly. So we need some evidence. So, you know, when the Rambam speaks about, you know, Pashtu Yadam B'mamonam Uviv Noseihem, maybe that's close, but you know, that doesn't get us as far as we would like to go, because that doesn't speak about the family. So there's one line in the Rambam. This is in the Igeres Hashmad that I wanted to point out. This is, I think, the best. If this is correct, this is, I think, the linchpin. So the Rambam writes as follows. The Igeres Hashmad is the Rambam is writing about what happened to Jewish communities in North Africa. There were a number of who caved, and under tremendous pressure, they claimed to be Muslim, and you know whether the din of Yeharik Val Yavor would apply. There were some people who took a very machmir view. So the Rambam says as follows: V'yaduahu kimochein, ma shekara li Yisrael b'malchus Yavan harisha, migzerus kashos v'raos, umichlolam haya, shelo yiskor adam es pesach beso, Kidei shelo yis yaher lisasik b'shum mitzvah. Now, what's the Rambam saying? What was part of the Greek assault on Jewish life? They destroyed the notion of a private household. They didn't want the Jewish people to have a refuge from the public religious persecution in the house. And so they said, you can't close the doors.
And that really makes sense in just terms of distinguishing it from Purim, because
perfect.
Because the issue here is an ongoing, over a period of time. It's not the story of Purim is that Haman makes decree, and suddenly the whole community is up over an event, but it's not over a process. Mm-hmm. That takes place over a long period of time.
Right, I think that's true. So if this Igeres Hashmad, again, you know, this is a remarkable line in the Rambam. So then we have a very good explanation. Is that what underlies this whole phenomenon is the notion of an attack on the Jewish household, and then the perfect response to that is that rather than allow the chiyuv to persist as inherent only in each and every gavra, the answer really is that it was appropriate to collectivize because that was the nature of the threat itself, and if that's true, then that would explain the impulse towards collective. That would explain the impulse towards collectivization as a whole. So I thought that was a very that line in the Rambam could be very, very crucial. So just to sum up what we saw today, and over the last few weeks, is that the sugya of Achsanai really is provides a very crucial window into the story of Ner Chanukah in general. You know, we would have thought, just based on reading that line on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Yishuv Beis, so that it's a mitzvah on the house. So, and then Mahadran means so that instead of being a mitzvah just on the house, it's sort of nice that everybody should have their own candle too. But Achsanai points out that that can't be the case, because the mitzvah of Achsanai says that wherever you are, there's apparently a chiyuv, and now we have a big problem. Since there is a chiyuv on the gavra, but he's not automatically part of a household, this guy is in no man's land. He's in the halachic no man's land. So he has two choices. He can join up where the family, you know, with the family where he is, be part of their household. That's the financial contribution. Or if he's lucky enough, now he may not have, that might be his only option. Or if he's lucky enough to have family, you know, back home, so then he can be included with them. And that's exactly what Reb Zeira did. Okay. Because we said, yes, it's a chiyuv which is inherent in each and every gavra. It's not mezuzah, but you have to be part of a household. So this guy was in halachic no man's land, so he had one of two choices. Okay, wonderful. So then what we asked is, well, let's say he wants to be on his own. Once we have the level of mahadrin, does that mean that he has the right to go and light wherever he wants his own candle? So the predominant view in the Truma Sadash and the Taz is, yeah, because why is this different than in a general mahadrin? Mahadrin ner l'chol echad ve'echad zaygezunt. And not only that, but in different areas of halacha, whether it's hamotzi or birchas hamazon, you want to be on your own, so be on your own. You want to be yotzei with other people, so be yotzei with other people. It's nothing so unique here. But then there is this dissenting view which said, no, that's not what mahadrin is. Lo matzinu mahadrin zeh b'talmud. Mahadrin means within the confines of a household. We never forgot about ner habayis. All mahadrin means is that within the confines of that household, we allow... You know, we give everybody a voice. That's so nice. So we give everybody a candle, but only within the confines of a household. Once we collectivized the mitzvah, it was collectivized. We did not give you carte blanche and say, wherever you are, you get your own candle. You have to be part of a household. So if you're traveling, you've got two choices. You could either be part of the household where you are, or you could join up with the household that you left from. You can't be on your own. That's not mahadrin, because there is no individualistic obligation. It was collectivized. Okay, so that was radical perspective, but that really emphasizes that even when we have mahadrin or mahadrin mina mahadrin, the predominant theme is still ner habayis. So then we came to the Rambam. We said, you know, the Rambam doesn't necessarily go this far, but the Rambam has something kind of like that. Because what does the Rambam say? It's not each individual in the household lighting their own candle, but it's one person as the representative of that household. So the only difference between the basic mitzvah, ner ish ubeso, and mahadrin, is not how many people are lighting. It's always one person who's lighting. It's just the number of candles. So you can increase the number of candles based on the amount of people. So the Rambam might be open to this idea that if you're traveling, you can light your own candle. He might be. That's what I was saying to Jacob, is that he might be, because he just says, eino tsarech, you don't have to, but it sounds like if you wanted to, you could. But the Rambam still has this idea. The idea that we're really interested is that what is mahadrin? Is mahadrin represent an individualistic chiyuv or not? And the Rambam, I don't think, has that. The Rambam basically believes that mahadrin means that we're still within the confines of the ner habayis. We're just giving each and every person a candle. So the most important question for us to address then, of course, is why this process of collectivization? Why did we go through this whole trouble? If the theory is correct, that it really was a chiyuv hagavra, then right, I mean, it's a chiyuv which is inherent in each and every individual, and that's why we worry so much about the achsanai. I mean, after all, we could have said, the achsanai, okay, he's not in the house, so who cares? He doesn't have an obligation. But he does. He has to be part of a household. So why have this whole dialectic to begin with of it's a chiyuv agavra, but then it's collectivized? So if the theory is correct in the Rambam, the Igeres HaShemah, that part of the attack of the Greeks against Jewish religion was specifically an attack on the notion of a Jewish household, so then it makes perfect sense. Then there is this need for collectivization. And that is this line in the Rambam, the Geres HaShemad, where the Rambam says is that they didn't allow the Jewish people to have a notion of a house. I just want to conclude by connecting this with the Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah. It may or may not be connected. The Rambam is of the view that if you don't have a door, let's say you just have a doorway, so you have, there's a door there, let's say you have that doorway, but without the door, the Rambam says that's not chayiv in mezuzah. You need to have a door.
You have to have something that opens
and closes. Because to have a bias, right? To have a bias, you need to have a closed door without a mezuzos beisecha. So if you don't have a closed door, it's not a bias. So according to the Rambam, what they really did here is that they destroyed the household by not letting them close the door. So how do we reassert the value of a household by having neri yishu beisecha?